My reason for reviewing, I'll even review my reason for reviewing. And the Holy Spirit has led us to a certain place. As far as I know, as much as I can ask Him, as much as leadership and the rest of you can ask, we have relied on Him to lead us even to this place of what we're going to talk about today, what we talked about last week. And so this applies to us as a body, as a group, but also to you as an individual. Now, I don't know how God does this, but He'll take this room full of people and different places in our walk, different places in our life, and He'll take the same thing and He'll use it. Now, that's the way He does it. He uses the Word, and I don't know exactly how that happens, but He does that. I know for certain that He does. So, since those things are important, we'll just give you a quick reminder of the things where we've been and how we got to this point. Let's go to Philippians 3:16. Kind of a little ways into the New Testament after Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Ephesians and over to Philippians chapter 3 verse 7. Verse 16. That's what I meant. I'm just seeing if my helpers are awake. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And you've heard me read this verse before, and you've heard me talk about this, that we don't want to do truth stacking to where we are just learning to be learning, or we are learning knowledge, but we are not following that with obedience. Now, knowledge is key to obedience. No downplaying knowledge. In fact, knowledge outruns experience, usually. Now, what I mean by that is that if you sit down and talk to somebody that's walking with God, and they're being open, and they're being honest, and they're sharing with you, they're going to know a little bit more than they're living. Usually, that's how it works. And I used to be ashamed of that, but I'm starting to wake up a little more to that. Okay, that's how it works. God, a lot of times, will put it in our head first, and then He'll put it in our heart. So, we don't need to get it the other way around. We don't experience something and then learn from that. What I mean by that is, you don't experience something and say, oh, and you get your theology from that experience. You get your theology, your doctrine, from the Bible, and you interpret your experience by what you know from God's Word. If you switch those, you get in trouble. So, what we've done is we've given you some basic knowledge. Now, when we've given you this basic knowledge, then there's an expectation that you will experience that knowledge in your life. So, we expect you to experience the things we're talking about. So, just as a review, basic knowledge that we've talked about. Substitution, that you actually have acknowledged that you have gone your own way apart from God, that you deserve death for the sin, and that you have accepted Jesus as substitution. He died, He's your substitute, died in your place. We've gone into a great deal about that. But also that you were identified, the identification principle, that you were identified with that. In other words, it was as if that was actually you on the cross. That old nature, the Adam nature, the tendency to go wrong, to live for yourself, was also crucified and has no power over you. And then we talked about reckoning, where how do you get this into your life? Okay, that old nature's dead, that temper, the lust, the selfishness or whatever, that no longer has control over me, but yet it's still showing up in my life. What's up with that? Well, then you have to, by faith, believe that that has no power over you. And then you start to experience it. Now, there's some common pitfalls to being able to experience this. And that's where we've been lately, is clearing some barriers out of the way so we can actually experience the knowledge that we've gained. So one of those pitfalls is that we have a continual, ongoing, fresh, daily walk with the Lord. That when there's sin, we talked about joy overflowing of cups overflowing joy. When that joy is not overflowing, something is stopping that, and that is sin. It always is sin. We have to go to God, confessed, and immediately the cup's running over again. So, and through that we looked at being able to have continuous revival, continually fresh, intimate fellowship with God. Now, along with that, we looked at that difficult thing of being open, transparent, confessing our sins to one another, of confessing what Christ, telling with your mouth, whether you're shy or whether you're not, is confessing with your mouth to each other what God is doing in your life and what He's dealing with you on. Is being open and being able to encourage each other like that. Now, this morning, what I wanted to do was to move into close this out with a final note on reckoning. Because I've heard a lot of people say, and I've experienced myself, okay, I believe, I've tried that. At times I'll have anger, I'll have something come up, and I'll reckon it to be true. That has no control over me, that old nature's dead, I believe I have a new nature, and boom, it gets me anyway. So why doesn't it work all the time? And so I really wanted to talk this morning about some practical aspects of reckoning, but we're going to do that next week. In fact, we're going to look at three aspects of reckoning, that if all three of these are not growing and happening, reckoning is not going to work in your life. Okay, so we're going to put that on hold. And we have one more barrier to look at. Something that will stop you from being able to enjoy the fruit of a relationship with God. This will stop you. And so we've got to get this out of the way. And so today, what we're going to talk about is, it's a heartbreaking pitfall for many of us. I've seen it, I've experienced it, and I see it over and over, that this thing of carrying our baggage from the past, you know, like a dog that's used to running free, you know, and somebody slips a chain over his neck and ties him to a tree, and he just assumes, he forgets that thing's there, and he heads out at a dead run, and then, whoop, yank, he was making great progress until it came to the end of his chain. And we hear all this stuff, we think it's great, we get encouraged, we get enthused, and we head out, we're going to follow God. And all of a sudden, something from our past reaches out and just knocks us upside the head, knocks us down. Something from our past snags us, hurts us, takes us down. So that's what I believe, that a lot of us have carried old baggage, baggage from our old life into the new life. You know, we won't go to this one. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I think it is, that tells us that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, the new has come. But what a lot of us have done is we haven't cut the umbilical cord to the old. And we've gained all this knowledge, but we barely move forward in experiencing the knowledge. Not in a consistent way, anyway. And I believe that what we're going to talk about is really at the heart, the shepherding heart of Jesus. I believe that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, our Advocate, will deal gently with us in this area. And that He desires us to reap the full benefit of being reconciled to God. So that's what we're going to deal with, is dealing with the past and getting it behind you like it's supposed to be. So, let's pray. Lord, we know that this could be a sensitive subject for many of us. And we know, Lord, that some of us don't even know what's holding us back, and this could be it. So, I just ask you to teach us, reveal to our heart. I do not claim to have a lot of ability or knowledge or experience in this area, so we are relying on you. So please help us, speak to us, and help us to get through this. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, what we're going to talk about today applies to those in whom a work has already been done internally. What do I mean by that? That means that you have accepted Jesus as your substitute. You're saved. You're a Christian. You have a new life. This doesn't apply. You can't go share this with your friends that have not accepted Christ and think this is a technique that's going to work with them to get over some hang-up. Okay, it's not going to work. The cross has to come first. Okay? Okay, Romans. Is this in your outline, Romans 1:17? Okay, the righteous will live by faith. the fruit of you get the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness. Think about it. It's joy. It's peace. It's all the fruit of the Spirit. It is being at peace with God. It's living a holy life without focusing on living a holy life. It's being able to respond to someone in a Christ-like manner that's not coming at you in a Christ-like manner. It's righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. We get that only by faith, by trusting, believing God, believing His promises, that we have a new nature. Now, if we're walking around with suppressed guilt, can cups be running over with joy? Can we have righteousness? Can we have joy flowing out of us if we have this suppressed guilt over something from the past? I don't think so. We cannot have joy and guilt at the same time. So let's talk about your sin and what the Bible has to say about it. Your sin that has been forgiven. So let's go to Philippians 3:13. Now Paul had this thing of what we're talking about today, obviously, is forgetting the past. And Paul had this thing, this balance of forgetting and remembering. We're told to remember some things, we're told to forget some things. It can be kind of hard to keep it all straight, what we're supposed to forget and what we're supposed to remember. And how in the world do you forget anyway? That seems to be an impossibility for me. So, but Paul had this thing in balance. So we'll see what we can learn from him. Verse 13 of chapter 3 in Philippians. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. What I want you to be straining towards and me to be straining towards is what we've been talking about. Having this continuous revival of overflowing the nature and the character of Christ, of Him being seen in us, of having overflowing joy on a continuous basis. That's where we're headed. I'm not there yet all the time. I don't think you're there, but that's where we're going. But to do that, there's some things we're going to have to forget. Some things we're going to have to leave behind. Now, Paul had this ability, it seems like, to forget some things and remember some things. This is a guy talking that was a murderer. Do you know that Paul, he could have been accused in court, at least in an accessory to the crime? He could have been convicted in court for what he did. He is standing there giving approval, having authority over, taking charge over Stephen, one of the most godly men of the New Testament era, standing there, no crime committed, and they threw rocks at him until he died. Beat him with rocks. That's a bad way to go. And Paul, this guy here writing this, stood there in approval of that. And not only that, he chased Christians down all over the known world, dragging them from their homes and throwing them in prison and having them beaten. He had some stuff to forget. He really did have some stuff to forget. So I think that might have been what he's talking about here. Of forgetting those things. Putting those things behind him. You know what else he forgot? It's his own personal ability. You know, Paul, unlike a lot of the writers of the New Testament, Paul had a lot of ability. He had a lot of education. He's not like some of those sheep herders that are writing a lot of books of the Bible. He had a lot of ability. But he was able to forget that and rely on God, not his own ability. He also commands us to remember the death, burial, resurrection of Christ through communion. That's one of the central purposes of communion, that we remember. We remember what Christ did. But there are things we are supposed to forget. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. Back to 1 Corinthians, a couple books back to 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Notice he says, what you were. There's not going to be any adulterers in heaven. How can that be? I know there's people that are Christians that committed adultery. there's not going to be any adulterers in heaven. If you're an adulterer, you're not going to heaven. If you're an alcoholic, you're not going to heaven. You know, I think AA has done a lot of good things, but if they're a Christian and they're a part of AA, and they say, my name is Bruce, and I'm an alcoholic. Sorry. According to this, you're no longer an alcoholic. You're a new person, a new creation in Christ Jesus, and you just need to start living like what you are, the new nature. So, it's clear that God has a different view of things than what we do. There are not going to be. He says, this is what some of you were. You were those things. But you were washed, you were sanctified, set apart for God's purpose. You were justified, declared righteous. All those people that did all those things, look back through that list, declared righteous. Completely, absolutely righteous. No sin, no guilt in them. Because those people are not going to be in heaven. And these people he's talking to are going to be in heaven. Okay, Psalm 103, verse 12. Psalm 103, just kind of go to the middle of your Bible. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And then we won't go there, but Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You know, we cannot really, when we store something in our brains, we cannot really, on purpose, hit the delete button. You know, we still can go back and remember things. But God, the Almighty Sovereign God, has the ability to hit the delete button. He has hit the delete button. Your sins are gone. They never existed. If you're punishing yourself for something, if you're kind of beating yourself up, if you're walking around with this guilt, and you, it's like you're taking it to God, and you, oh, God, he's going, what are you talking about? You're talking nonsense. What are you talking about? Because he hit the delete button. They're gone. Do you know, if you're a Christian, Romans chapter 8 tells us, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That means that, but we've talked about this before, they will never be brought up again. Never. Never, 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 never. Even if you go back and you make that same failing again, they will never be brought up again. The delete button has been hit. You're punishing yourself for something that you don't, that he's not even aware of. How can that be, that God not be aware of something? I don't know. But he, on purpose, quit remembering. He forgot it. And the other thing that you do, if you're carrying something around with you from the past, is you are highly, and we're going to try to pinpoint some of those things for you, okay? But you are highly underestimating the cross. How insulting to think that you can add to the cross by punishing yourself. You know, it's like, you think of a husband and wife, and if, you know, one or the other has trouble being intimate because of a sin in that area in the past. How ridiculous. I know that there are consequences. We're going to talk about consequences. But how ridiculous. Because you're punishing yourself with that is what you're doing. And it's like you're adding to the cross. We cannot add to the cross. It's already taken care of. Complete. And it's an insult to God if you do that. And another point here. If you are bringing up someone else's sin for them, if you are reminding someone, if you're reminding someone of a sin from the past, I just can't help but think of the husband and wife on this one, but I'm sure it applies elsewhere too. But if you're reminding someone of a sin they've committed in the past, that's already been taken care of at the cross, they've confessed that, whose advocate are you? The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. Okay? If you have this thing, you remember this thing. Oh, some way you used to be. Some way you used to think. Some thing you used to do or did or whatever. And you think about that. What brought that memory to your mind? That was not the Holy Spirit. Satan is our accuser. He's accusing us wrongfully because it's taken care of. It's done, finished, forgot, delete. So, if you are helping somebody remember their sin from the past, whose advocate are you? You're joining forces with the wrong team if you're doing that. Now, don't get me wrong here. Some things leave patterns from our past. And we have to deal with those patterns, ways of thinking. And we can help each other recognize and deal with those patterns. But we do not bring up, we do not look at, we do not think of them as being where those patterns came from. The source of those patterns is gone. You understand? The source is gone, and so the patterns can be straightened out as they trust God. And we can help and assist people in recognizing patterns and dealing with that. That's something we can do in counseling as we help each other. But we do not look at them and think of them. That they are no longer that person. Forget what lies behind. Now, we are a troubled people. You were raised here in the United States, and maybe some more protected than others. But out of just a small group like this even, there will be some pretty troubling things that have gone on in people's past. You know, there have been abortions, which that's on the man and the woman. We've taken advantage of people. We've cheated. We've lied. We've manipulated. We've used harsh words to hurt. We've been selfish. We've robbed God for the handling of our finances. We've had anger, and some of us have some pretty intense anger. We've had lust. We've committed adultery. There's been divorce, etc., etc., etc. These things have gone on in a lot of our lives. And we've been affected. Right now, I'm talking about your sin. In a minute, we're going to talk about things that have been done to you. So right now, we're considering the things in your own life. And you know what? There are a lot of lesser things that we drag with us, too. It doesn't have to be dramatic things. But if we don't deal with these things, we will drag them around. If we don't confess and acknowledge that they're paid in full, then we will drag these things around in the new life. The secret to deliverance is forgetting. Choosing not to relive something. You know, your body can have all the psychological responses when you relive something as if when it really happened. Have you ever noticed that? You ever got a little scuffle with somebody and you think back to it? You can have all the adrenaline you ever had. Or you're going to tell somebody. You're going to respond to what they said to you now, and you're planning, you're thinking about it. And when you go through that, your body, your heartbeat speeds up, you get a shot of adrenaline, you have all your body response. You know, athletes have recognized this, and they have psychological training. Like, they'll shooting free throws. I don't shoot free throws very well. But if somebody wanted to get better at shooting free throws, they wouldn't just go out and shoot. With modern training, they will visualize. They'll think about maybe one time when they shot the most perfect free throw. Everything was right. Everything came together. The crowd, the guys on the team, everything. And they could put themselves back in that situation, close their eyes, and relive it. And they have all the same emotions, and they break a little sweat, get a little nervous. Their body responds just like it's really happening. And we do that with our sin also. And we just relive it, and we rehash it, and we have it over and over and over and over again. And sometimes we even try to enjoy that. The secret is forgetting. It's choosing not to relive. It's refusing a pattern of thinking. We must accept deliverance if we're going to move on. And people always want to ask me if I talk about this, but what about reconciliation? Do I have to go back and apologize to everybody from that? Reconciliation is the result of deliverance, okay? It's not necessarily a part of deliverance. If you have wronged somebody, and you go to apologize to them, if you're doing it right, you've already confessed the sin. You've already been delivered from it. And now you're just going to make it right with that person. Now, let's say they didn't receive you. They didn't accept your apology. Well, you're still delivered from it. You're still delivered from it. Even if they refused your apology. And sometimes people die, don't they? And you don't ever get to apologize to them. You still have deliverance when you confess that to God. You're still delivered. If you've wronged somebody, and you never got a chance to tell them, you still can be delivered from that. Now, a psychologist can drag all these things out of you. Have you ever seen that happen? And they can get all those emotions, get all those same things I was just talking about. And then send you out the door and call you back next week because you've really got something to deal with now. And then you can do that the rest of your life if you want to. Or you can forget it. You can forget it. Get it. Accept God's name. Delete it. Okay. The next area. Some of you really want to get the sins against you. Luke 11:4. You know, we only have one verse for this section, but this is such a theme throughout the Bible. We could just go on and on with the verses. Luke 11:4, part of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. There's a trend you'll find in Scripture that talks about you have been forgiven. Your sin put Jesus on the cross. Your sin put Him on the cross. So it's paid for. What right do you have to hold against somebody a sin against you? If their sin, you know, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Now, whether they have received that or not, He still loved them, reached out to them, died in their place. They just haven't accepted it yet. But I hope you can catch, we're not going to go into great detail here, the ridiculousness of you denying forgiveness when forgiveness has been given to you. God does not like that. In case you want me. So, there's something in this, I'm just going to mention briefly, is we need to be in the habit of current, immediate forgiveness. You could do this all day long, because you're going to be wrong all day long, or you may perceive you're wrong. People are going to say things and do things to you, especially if you happen to live in a house with anybody other than yourself. If you have one other person in the house with you, then you're going to be wrong or thinking you're wrong continuously. And so we need to be in the habit of immediate forgiveness. Immediate forgiveness. You just forgive immediately. Go ahead and take care of it right now, because you're going to have to deal with it again if you don't. So go ahead and deal with it. Immediate forgiveness. But what we're talking about today, you know, especially we need that if we're talking about being open in our fellowship, sharing with each other, knowing our faults and our goodness, then we have to develop that habit of immediate forgiveness. So, but right now I'm speaking more to the past. You've been hurt. Or you've been taken advantage of. You've been gossiped about. Have you ever been gossiped about? Has anybody ever been out to get you? That is not a good thing. You know, I had a call one time. No. Can I answer the phone? Hello? Yeah. Is it Daryl? See, you know, for about a month there, when I stepped out of the house, I was looking in the bushes. Like somebody was out to get me. I suspect it was my drug addict friend. I wanted the place. But it's not a good feeling to have somebody after you, out to get you, maybe in that severe way or maybe in a less severe way. Be gossiped about. Maybe you have really been, maybe you've been physically beat up. A lot of people have been beat up. Maybe that's happened to you. That's a hard thing to get over. That's a violation. Maybe you've been stolen from. Maybe you've been sexually abused. You know, the number of people in this country that have been sexually abused is, I don't think we have a clue. I really don't. There has been a lot of hurt, and from people that are close to us. Maybe you've been verbally abused. Maybe you've just been ignored. Ignored by your family, ignored by a mate, ignored by a parent, neglected, maybe you've been deserted. That is not a good deal. Maybe your parents divorced. Somebody left somebody. Somebody deserted the family. Somebody deserted you. Somebody deserted the kids. Somebody did not do their responsibility. You know, there are some examples in the Bible of some people that were, obviously we could go to Jesus and see some mistreatment severely. But just think even of David. David who, after killing Goliath, young, innocent, shepherd boy, brave and trusting God, an example. And then the king becomes jealous of this little shepherd boy. The king offers him his daughter to be married to him. Great honor. Promises to him, makes a commitment to him. Comes the day to get married. At the last minute, the king gives his bride to another man. Then the king calls him in to serve him. So he's serving the king. The king tries to murder him with a spear. Tries to pin him to the wall. And then, knowing that he knew it was his rightful place to become the king, and the king hassled him, pursued him, took advantage of him, used his victories for his own glory, tried to send him in the battle to get him killed, chased him around in the desert. Oh, years, over and over and over, wronged him. And all David tried to do was submit and show him love. And this guy was after him. And then, in the end, when Saul got killed, he fell in battle, David immediately grieved his death. I mean, true, honest to goodness, grieved. He didn't say, I knew that was coming. God got him for me. None of that. You know why he was able to grieve his death? He had forgiven him. He had already forgiven him. He was forgiving him as he went along. He was already forgiven. If you have bitterness and unforgiveness, you are chained to the past. And you cannot move forward. You cannot move forward. As long as you have that kind of bitterness or unforgiveness towards anyone in your past, dead or alive, you cannot move forward. It's just like we talked about before. There's the forgetting. Just like we're forgetting of our own sin, we have to forget the other person's sin. And then we have to refuse that pattern of thinking. Because you've developed a pattern of thinking when you're chained to the past. But when the sin, you've been delivered from it, there still may be a pattern that pops up. You may have to get some help to do this. But you refuse, because of the new nature, reckoning it to be true, you refuse to... You know what it feels like, don't you? A little resentment starts way down here. Starts way down here, it just starts coming. You see it coming. But you get some pleasure, some relief, some satisfaction from letting it get all the way up in full-fledged anger. You feel some control when you have that kind of anger, and so you let it go. You let it build up. Rather than, it has no source. You've been delivered from that. The source has been cut off. There's still that pattern. You can say no to that pattern. Self-pity? Why has this been done to me? This person ruined my life. They have ruined my life. If I just could have. If I just... We have a new nature, and it's time to get over the past and move on and live by the new nature rather than the past. You've been set free, and you get the benefit of being set free as you trust in Him. You know, this goes even for our failures. This is something I'm learning right now. This is something God is teaching me right now. Is that sometimes, if I have not got anything accomplished in a few hours, I've been, I'm trying to get, and I just hadn't got anything accomplished. Maybe I got distracted and I wasted some time, or I just made some bad decisions in how I was going to spend my time. And it's like, that was a failure. A little saying, the Lord says, I want that 4 hours of my life back. It's like, and then that'll just kind of, that just gets me. But something I've been doing, and we're going to talk about this in just a second, is that, that's, okay, I see that. That's a failure. That was my weakness. Now, how do I deal with that? Can I forget the past? Can I thank God for that weakness of mine? And I've been doing that. When I do something like that, it's because of my own weakness, a failure. say, I thank you, Lord, that I'm terrible at studying. I thank you. I'm weak. I am weak at studying. I struggle with it. I thank you for calling me into this, where I have to depend on you to get this done. If it gets done, I'm dependent on you. If I'm dependent on myself, it just doesn't happen. I play cards. Like I got lured into last night. It wasn't very hard. So we forget the past. A saying I heard the other day, we forget the glory and the gory. You know what that means? Let's say that today was the most awesome message that Steve ever taught. And that people just were falling on the floor and saying, oh, hallelujah. And I just, boy, that went good. And then we went to Bible study and, boy, it was just, the body was just working and everything was just good and we had good fellowship and there was connecting. Everybody was, it was just a great day. It was just a great day. You know, when I wake up on Monday morning, I cannot rely on yesterday. I have to trust God today. Just like you, just like everybody. No matter what happened yesterday, I can't remember the glory. Just like I can't remember the glory, the bad stuff. I have to trust God today, in this moment, where I am, forgetting the past. Now, Paul, when he said he forgot the past, he didn't forget that he called himself the chief of sinners. Number one sinner. The worst of sinners. But he didn't glory in his sin. He just left it at that. Giving God the glory. So, instead of worry and regret, we need to change our attitude. Just in everyday terms, we just need to change our attitude and we need to be thankful. We fall back into these things sometimes because of negative thinking. Negative thinking is following that old pattern. We forget that we have a new nature. We forget that God is in control and that He can be trusted. Let's look at this for just a second. We're just about to close here from God's perspective. You know, nothing catches God off guard. You're heading to work and you hit every single red light. The traffic is horrendous. This person cuts in front of you. That didn't surprise God. Oh, but what about if I crash you going 75 miles an hour? That didn't catch God off guard either. Nothing surprises Him. If I just was married to a different person, if they were just different, I'm not saying that. If only this, if only that. What does all that sound like to God? You remember the Israelites in the desert? Ange mentioned this today. Mumbling and grumbling and complaining. To God's ears, they were talking to Him. Now, they were complaining to Moses. To God's ear, they were praying to Him. They were complaining to God. And they were saying to God, I don't like the way you're handling things, God. You could have stopped that. I don't like the way you're handling things. You know, when they may even be angry with God. But things they don't even have a clue about. They don't even understand. And they're mad at God. And they can see, like, about this far. And God sees everything. And it's all complete detail. I tried this yesterday, or Friday. We were going up in the snowcap, Mountain Man Dave's cabin. We got just a little ways away from the road, and the thing goes, of course, we're loaded down with Chris and Misty and the two kids, and Phil and Patty, Lori and Caleb and me. The thing goes, and it just dies. And I go, oh, man. I did not bring my keys. I didn't tell Chris how to start the snowmobile up there. That's a mile up. It's like, oh, man, I wanted them to have a good time. It's like, why did this have to happen? Why did this have to happen right now? So I just wanted to get out and just sprint to the truck, get the gas can, and just get back and put it. No, but Dave wanted to go with me. He's 70-something years old, you know. We're walking, and then it's like, we get to the truck, and there's the gas can full of gas. He said, well, let's chain up, and we'll drive there. Just let me carry it and run back up there. well, let's chain up and go back up. And then the chains don't fit. And then we get... And I thought, you know what? God knew this was coming. You know, there's a purpose in everything. I may not ever know it. But I thank you, Lord, for this situation. I thank you. And I just visited with Dave. And we talked and we messed with it. You know, they were freezing. Go out and get that frostbite. But I was thanking God. I wasn't sure if I was going to tell this story or not, because I didn't know how people would respond to this. But you know me, I tell it anyway. I heard this from Don Landis the other day on a tape. He said there was a young man that worked in their church on staff. Just a gifted, young, and vibrant, gifted young man. And he had gone away to college, I think to Bible school, and he was going to come back and work in their church. And the young man's father was with him and his brother, and they had come to Jackson Hole to go skiing. And so they were going to go skiing, and but this young man had to go run an errand real quick. And he ran before they went skiing, coming back, stepped out in the street, got run over by a school bus. Dead. So the police come to, they knew where Don lived, they came to his house, told him. And he just was like shocked. He just shocked. He didn't know. Who do I call? Who do I call? And he couldn't think, who do I call? Finally, he said, I just need to go over there. So he went to where the father was staying. He went into the father and he just told him. He told him what had happened. And this man, a godly man, he said, Don said, I was shocked. He said, the man looked at me. He said, Don, give on our knees, thank God. But that's not to say he didn't grieve. That's not to say that he didn't hurt. But he said, get on our knees and thank God. Whoa. You know, you remember the story I told you about Caleb? And that doctor, trying to hold it, told me in the way she did, I'm sorry, but this got it down. And I was just like, come back. What does that mean? And it took me 3 or 4 days to say, thank you, God. Thank you. I trust you with this. Thank you. I know this is not your plan from the beginning. Birth defects are not a part of God's original plan. That's a result of sin. Those things are. But now, he's still in control. He works everything to our good. And I know that he will work that. To Caleb's good, to work that to my good, to the Lord's good, to all the families coming out. If we will trust him with it to make us more like Christ. So, I had the option. At that moment, when she told me that, I could have dropped to my knees and said, thank you, God. And I wouldn't have those 3 days of the type of misery I was having. I'm not saying I wouldn't have grieved. I had expectations, you know, that were let down. And that's normal. That's okay. Let's go to Romans 8:28. I feel as though I have to prove this to you. What? Oh, no. Did not. I'm not picking on you anymore, Phil. Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that in all things, most of the things, 99.9% of the things, everything except something happens to your child. No. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Now, this is not to say when something happens that we do not have the right and the privilege to go to God and ask him to change it. And sometimes he'll change it. If there's cancer, maybe he's going to cure it. And that's an opportunity to bring glory to God. But if he doesn't cure it, it's still an opportunity. Are we going to have joy in the pain? In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. He works everything out. When we trust him, the red light, the long line, the flat tire, the little cold, the flu, the raise, the promotion, he works everything out. Conform us to the image of Christ. And if you look over While you're there, look over to 5:3. Romans 5:3. I don't think that's in your outline, but I have it in my notes. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings too. And then it goes on, because we know that suffering proves perseverance, perseverance, character. We can rejoice in our sufferings. And let's go to Philippians 4. There's a saying that a lot of southern churches that I've heard before that I kind of like. It goes like this. Whoever's up front or whoever says it, says the words, God is good. And the whole congregation says, all the time. God is good. All the time. Whatever happens, whatever comes your way, God doesn't change. God is good. His every intent towards you is good, honorable, loving, and kind. God is good all the time. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord most of the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to give the spiritual term of positive thinking. You know, worldly positive thinking does nothing. It's based on fallacy. It's like you're in a false state of peace. But spiritual, God's positive thinking is based on a firm foundation. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That means you don't go off into a fantasy world. You don't go back and think about revenge. You don't go back and think about things that don't exist, like your sin. You don't carry that stuff around with you. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The difficulty in this verse is that always word. Rejoice always, thanking God for everything, even your failures and even your weakness. Maybe especially your weakness. Thanking God for your weakness, that it's an opportunity for His strength to be seen in you. Do you come from a horrendous background? Have you really been under control? Have you had sin? Have you had anger? Then there's really an opportunity for God's work to be seen in you. Maybe you're weak, like me, in this area of my life. And I know I just have to trust God. Maybe if I was strong in this, maybe I would tend to rely on myself. Early Christians counted it. This all works together. I hope you can see the connection here. The early Christians counted it an honor to suffer in His name. And they would thank Him for being able to suffer in His name. And any suffering that we experience. Now, some of you right now inside are probably fighting this. But any suffering in His name, any suffering can be in His name. As we trust Him, suffering can be voluntary, like those early Christians. It can be involuntary. We get some disease or something. But we can choose to suffer in His name as we trust Him to work His purposes in us. What's His purpose in us? That Christ would be seen. We would become more like Christ. We'd be conformed to the image of Christ. And through us. What's His purpose through us? That the world would know Him. They would see Him in us. And if the world sees joy in suffering, within suffering, they will be drawn to Christ, I believe. But even the little things, let's not get too carried away with these tragic events. Some of us can do that with these huge events, and then the everyday things of life, we just like, we crash on. So, what we've done today is identify some roadblocks. Some things that stop the cups from overflowing, some things that stop us from being able to get to the place of reckoning it to be true. So I really want you to deal with these things. to forget them. And then if there's still a pattern for some of those things, then, you know, deal with the pattern. But deal with it for what it is. It's just a pattern. That's not you. That's not you. You just deal with the pattern. If you really have forgot that resentment you have against another person, and you have a pattern that you've been in this pattern of thinking, and that comes back, you know, share that with somebody. Get a little help with it. That's just a pattern. That can be overcome. That's not you anymore. But deal with these things. Because next week, remember, we're moving on. You gotta take care of these things. Because we're out the gate and down the road. So, if that chain's yanking you back, then you're missing out. So we're moving on to reckoning it to be true, to continuous revival. That's where we're headed next week. So, gotta deal with these things. If the Holy Spirit brings them to us, and that's where we are right now. This is where we're headed. So deal with them. And come to the place of consistent fruit and fulfilling His purpose in your life.